Ephesians chapter 2 and the end of verse 12. Having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were once afar off are become nigh by the blood of the Christ. I was reading an article, I think it was on the Daily Telegraph website, called What to Do When There Is No Hope. And hope is something that unfortunately is in very short supply in this world at the moment. The newspapers are full of bad reports of things happening all over the world. And people, if you really speak to people and get to know people, you realise that actually, despite maybe the facade that they put on, deep down they really as well too have very little hope in this life. The people that we read about here at the beginning, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a very sad and very perilous position to find oneself in. And yet it is the position that we find each and every person will find themselves in, as we say here, without God. You see, there's a separation that's come in between us and God. Right from the beginning of the Bible, way back in the book of Genesis, we find that this thing called sin came in and it caused a separation between God and his creature. And that separation is still being felt to this very day, even now. That every single person alive in this world today has sinned. And the Bible says that they've fallen short of the glory of God. That means they've fallen short of the standard that God has set out. And that we, each and every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, have to admit that we come far short of the standard that God has set. Because God is a holy God, and God is a perfect God. And we, again, if we're honest, know that we are very much imperfect and very much unholy people. And because of that, being in this world without God, it means that we have no hope. Unless you have God in your life, there is no hope. There is no purpose to your life. You're wandering around in this world down here. And yet tonight, dear friend, I want to present to you the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able, by his blood, to bring you nigh, that means near, to God. And as soon as you come near to God, as soon as the Lord Jesus Christ brings you near to God, as it says, by the blood of Christ, it means that you're given a purpose, not just in this life, but you're given a wonderful hope. You'll be able to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, worshipping God. There's such a distinct contrast in the scriptures between those that have hope and those that do not have hope. But the default position of every human being alive today is without God and without hope. There is no such thing as being born into Christianity. There's no such thing as inheriting Christianity. Because you've been brought up in a Christian home doesn't necessarily mean that you will become a Christian. It is a personal and individual matter. But nobody else can make that decision for you. And it's something that you have to come to yourself. The Bible says, through repentance and faith. There are plenty of people probably in this room tonight that are praying that if you're not saved yet, that you will be. And you can do no more than that. It is by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that one is able to come into blessing. But that is on offer tonight, dear friend. The opportunity to come into blessing is still on offer. The door has not yet shut. Having no hope and without God in the world. You know, that, as I said, there's plenty of people that are going through this world without any sort of sense of direction. Plenty of people that are being able to be very successful in their life. And yet the Bible says, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his soul? There's so many people that have done very well for themselves in this life. And yet, when they've got to the top, when they've reached the absolute pinnacle of what it means to be an expert in their field, they've found that that's it, there's nowhere else to go. Because no matter what you go in for in this world, there is no complete and true satisfaction found. There's a woman in John 4 who's often referenced in the gospel about somebody that was trying to find their satisfaction in things that this world can offer. And dear friend, you will find that the world lets you down time and time again. The youngest son in Luke 15 went out and did everything that he possibly could, and yet he found himself still wanting. He found himself still without that sense of satisfaction. There was nothing, dear friend, that this world can offer you tonight that can come anywhere close to what God can offer you in the gospel. Because God is able to offer you not just a hope, God is able to offer you the forgiveness of your sins. God is able to offer you a personal guarantee that you will one day be with him in heaven. He's able to give you his blessed Holy Spirit to live and dwell within you so that you're able to live for him down here. He's able to give you a shepherd and a friend and a guide and a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's able to perhaps firstly and initially give you the sense of peace that the penalty of sin has been gone forever and that you no longer have to face an eternal punishment in hell. But there's so much more on offer in the gospel than just that. There's so much more on offer than just being saved from hell. There's a whole realm of blessings that you come into, and that you discover each and every day what God is doing for you when you become a Christian. But dear friend, we have these people here having no hope and without God in the world. The Bible also talks about the way that the straight and the narrow way, the wide way that leads to destruction. And dear friend, there's many tonight on that road that looks good, and there's plenty of people on it, but ultimately it leads to destruction. There is no hope. Hope cannot be found apart from in God. And you know, plenty of people today, as I say, deep down they have this sense of longing for this satisfaction, but on the surface people try and keep themselves busy, and they try and make sure that they fill their lives up with as many different things as possible, in sport and in all sorts of other things. But dear friend, there's nothing that can offer you the satisfaction that your heart desires so much as coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Having no hope and without God in the world. And then we have this wonderful thing: but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were once afar off are become nigh by the blood of the Christ. You see, God saw us totally separated from himself. There's a huge, great chasm that is fixed between us and God. And yet, dear friend, God has looked at us. There's a hymn where it says he looked at me in my helpless estate. And he looked on me and he looked at me and saw that I could do nothing to help myself at all. That there's no good works, that there's no amount of doing all sorts of religious things that I can possibly do to bring myself back into blessing and back into God's favour. But God hasn't just left us in that position. God has moved from his own side. That's the love that God has towards you today. That while you were yet sinners, that's a wonderful verse, isn't it? That even while you were everything that God cannot stand, that God hates, even while you were full of this thing called sin, God still loved you. And God moved from his own side, saw that we were unable to do so. And he sent his beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the greatest rescue mission, I suppose, in order to secure back those that were in repentance and in faith. God moved from his own side. No merits on my part or your part, but it's entirely down to God's love. And he sent his Son. This is the person that we read about here, but now in Christ Jesus. This was the God's own Son. He sent him to this very earth. And he sent him here, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about some of the things that he did today in the Gospels. And you can read the four Gospels. And you can read the different things that the Lord Jesus did. And the wonderful things that he said. And the wonderful things that he did. And the miracles. And the healing. And the huge amount of teaching that even to the most godless person still comes across as incredibly long and incredibly long. And yet, dear friend, the reason that I'm able to stand here tonight and present you a gospel is not because of the life of the Lord Jesus, but it's because of the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It says here, you were once far off, I've become nigh by the blood of the Christ. You see, in order for God to righteously bring us back into blessing, blood had to be shed. Again, that's a theme that runs all the way through the Gospels and all the way through the Bible. Way back in Genesis,
You can see that blood had to be shed in order for God to overlook, not exactly overlook, but to cover sin.
Mm.
You can read in that the first five books of the Bible and all the laws and all the sacrifices that came in so that God was able to cover sin up for another year. And yet with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews goes over this time and time again. The sacrifice of the Lord was done once and once forever. It was never needed to be repeated again. Because the Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect sacrifice.
Mm.
And the blood that was shed on that cross never needs to be repeated.
Mm.
The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't need to die again because God found his full satisfaction in that sacrifice. You see, on that cross, and you hear about this every week, on that cross, in those 3 hours of darkness where we and human beings were not allowed to see what was going on, God poured out everything that he had against sin on the head of his beloved Son, so that he was able to righteously come out tonight in blessing. It says a little bit later on in the Gospels about the curtain of the temple being rent from the top to the bottom. And God was able to flood out in love and grace and blessing towards you tonight. He's no longer hidden behind a curtain. He's able to come out towards you tonight in blessing because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we talked about it today, which cleanses us from all sin. No matter what you've done in your life or said or thought, dear friend, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you from all sin. That sacrifice on that cross is sufficient so that anybody can come into blessing. Every single person who is alive today is able to take their opportunity and come in repentance and faith. Mm. And that includes you tonight, dear friend, sitting in your seat here. There is no reason, dear friend, why you shouldn't come in. Everything has been done for you. Everything has been prepared for you. And there's nothing left to do on your part except to come in repentance and faith. Realise that you're wrong and that God is right. And come in faith, looking at that person hanging there on that cross and realising that that was done there and that was done there for you. But dear friend, it's a wonderful message of the gospel. Because unlike every other religion in the world, Christianity doesn't have a founder who is dead. The story of the gospel doesn't end on that cross at Calvary. The story of the gospel carries on because the Lord Jesus Christ came back to life. He was risen again from the grave 3 days later. What a wonderful message this is. And what did that prove? That proved that God was satisfied completely. That the payment had been made, the debt had been cleared, and God is able to move out towards you tonight in blessing. And it's all because, it says here, you become nigh by the blood of Christ. I have a little note in my Bible, I can't remember where it came from, it might have been D.L. Moody, I think it was, about all the different things that we are brought into by the blood. We're justified, we're sanctified, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're purchased, we're brought near, as we read. We have peace, and we're cleansed by the blood. It all comes down to sacrifice. Everything was purchased there at that cross. Everything was done and settled and sorted for all eternity by that one single sacrifice. And now, dear friends, you're able to come and take and avail yourself of this opportunity. Come and bless, come and reach out and touch the blessing that God wants to give to you tonight. And it's all been secured by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says here, we're now in Christ, you once far off have been brought nigh by the blood of the cross. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel, is we're not just saved, but we're brought right into the presence of God. We're able to come as near as we possibly can to God. Because it says here, we're now in Christ. And dear friend, that's a wonderful thing to come to. That God's not looking for you to repair yourself or to make yourself better. God's looking for you to come in Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only person that's ever done to God. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only person that God is looking for. And you are able to come into God's presence as perfect as Christ himself. Even though you were once guilty, rotten sinners, you come through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've come and you have that forgiveness of your sins, you're able to, God is able to look on you the same way that he looks on his beloved son. Forgiveness and justification is that complete, that God is able to look on you and love you the same way that he loves his only beloved son. What a wonderful thing that is. You were once far off, but become nigh by the blood of Christ. God's not interested in you repairing yourself or making a better job of yourself or giving yourself 10 steps to success or New Year's resolutions. He's interested in starting completely again, giving you a new heart and giving your heart and a Holy Spirit that is able to live down here for him and respond to him. Become nigh by the blood of the Christ. We started talking about having no hope and without God in the world. But the wonderful thing is, once you become a Christian, once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you're given a hope in your heart. And the way that the Bible talks about hope is not the way that we talk about hope, where we hope something might happen and it's a possibility. When the Bible talks about hope, it's a certainty that we're just waiting to happen. And dear friend, I think it's in Titus, it talks about awaiting the blessed hope and appearing. When you become a Christian, dear friend, there's plenty of things that God wants you to do while you're still living down here. But dear friend, the blessed hope and appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ should be something that is in our hearts every single day of the week. We're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back. And we're waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back a second time to set up his kingdom down here. There's so much to look forward to in Christianity. There's so much to enjoy now. There's a whole sphere of blessing that opens up as soon as you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Peter talks about how we need to be able to always give an account of the hope that is within us. That hope should be burning right within us. And if you're a Christian tonight, dear friend, the hope that you have within us, that this world is not your home, that you are awaiting another home, that you're here living for a different master, should be real and tangible and obvious to all those around. And I'm speaking to myself more than anybody else in this room. But dear friend, the hope that God has given us, from having no hope to having this wonderful hope, is something that really should show in our lives as we walk down here. And so, dear friends, that's pretty much all I want to say about this. As I said, the Bible is very clear. We start off, everybody starts in the same position, having no hope and without God in the world. And yet, because of God's love, and because of the sacrifice of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God is able to bring us into this most wonderful blessing. He's able to save you from your sins. He's able to give you... Well, the Bible says that eye has not seen or ear heard all the things that God's prepared for those that love him. There's so much, dear friend, that's wrapped up in coming to know Christ as your Savior. And I pray that if you don't know tonight, that you may do so. But if you do know, that the hope that you have within you may be burning brighter at that moment where he will gather every single believer to himself, becomes even closer, that it may burn brighter and more obviously in our walk down here. For his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.